for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, November 29, 1991. Thanksgiving weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook, Tulsa, Oklahoma, is the speaker of the evening.
Thank you, Lord. Father, again tonight we submit our hearts to you, Lord. Recognizing in ourselves we're nothing, but we submit to the head, the Lord Jesus. And we ask God tonight the anointing, the quickening, to minister thy word, Lord. Bless thy people. Open our hearts. We come against sleepiness, Lord. Anything that would cause us to go to sleep in this meeting now, Lord, we come against it now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that you'll keep the people alert and awake. And everybody said amen in Jesus' name. God bless you. Praise the Lord. I really enjoyed that message this afternoon. I thought it was really a classic message. And how many enjoyed that? Praise God. And I want to say something about the fear of the Lord that Brother Norman taught. I got those tapes a long time ago, and they were a great blessing to me. They'll be a blessing to you if the Lord leads you to get those. It was good this afternoon. I appreciate that message. Praise the Lord. Turn back to Revelation chapter 1, and let's start there. Again, I want to read a couple of scriptures I didn't read this morning. Revelation chapter 1, and I want to look at verses, I want to look at verses 7, and then we'll read down a few more here, and then we want to go in some more scriptures. Now, we said this morning that this revelation came from the Father to the Son, from the Son to the angel, which was a prophet, and from the angel to John, and from John to the church. And I thank God for the revelation of Jesus Christ He's revealing to people in this hour. Amen? Now look in verse 7. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. Now I usually take that scripture and go over to Matthew 24, I think it's verse 30, and just parallel that. Those two scriptures. But look in verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. Now, verse 9. Now, we saw this morning that Paul had many revelations of the Lord, and we know that he had a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet him. And here John's talking about on the Isle of Patmos, and he's talking about the revelation of Jesus. And verse 9, he said, I, John, who also am your brother, and notice, and companion in tribulation. John knew what it was to walk in tribulation. How many know we're going to enter the kingdom by much tribulation? Much tribulation. And so John knew what it was to be a companion or to share in tribulation and in the kingdom and in the patience of Jesus Christ was in the isle that's called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And then he begins to hear the trumpet of God. We know the trumpet is not a horn, it's a message coming to someone. Isn't that right? I mean, thank God for the message of God that He's bringing forth. There are seven trumpets blowing in the book of Revelation. And the seventh trumpet is going to change a people. Can you say amen? Now, if you'll notice here in this same chapter, he hears the trumpet, and of course, he's turning to see the voice, and he sees one in the midst of the candlestick, and I'm not going to go into that tonight. But he describes the one he sees here in the midst of the candlestick. Then there's another verse that I'm looking for, I believe here somewhere if I can find it. Praise God. I want to look here just a second. In verses 12, and I turned to see the voice. Notice he wasn't just yanked around or jerked around. He said, I turned to see the voice. Now, there's a people being turned towards the Lord today. How many believe that? God is turning us. Now, sometimes we're stubborn, we're rebellious, but God is turning a people that's submitting to Him. But I turned to see the voice. Notice, he heard the voice first. Now he turns to see the voice, and being turned, he saw seven golden candlesticks. Well, there's a lot more in that. Now, turn over to Haggai. I want to go there tonight, and I want to go into this a little further. How many know that without the glory of God, there will be no revelation of Jesus? And so here in Haggai, the book of Haggai, chapter 2, we'll just start there and go on this a little further tonight as the Lord directs. I believe God's building a house that will stand. How about you? God's house is going to stand. And except the Lord build a house, we labor in vain, I'll tell you that. If God don't build a house, it's not going to be built. But I'm telling you, He's building a house, a strong house, with a strong people, amen, with a strong word, because we have a strong God. Can you say amen? And Haggai chapter 2, He says to us here in verse 6, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations." How many know that includes America? God's shaking our land. And that includes a lot of things. "I'll shake all nations, and the desire," notice that, "the desire of all the nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." Now notice in verse 9, God says that the glory of this latter house is going to be greater than the former. He didn't say the house is greater. He said that the glory is going to be greater. And to have more glory, how many know it? That means you're going to suffer. There's going to be some suffering. The greater the suffering, the greater the glory that's going to come. And yet Paul didn't remember the suffering once the glory came in. Amen? Let's look at this in Romans. Hold your place. Look in Romans chapter 8. We need to see the glory of God tonight. Amen? Romans chapter 8. And look at verses 17. "And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be," what? "Glorified together." Next verse. "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed," where? In us, in you, and in me. Now, back in Haggai, he says that this glory of this latter house is going to be greater than the former. And he said, "In this place, in the house, I'm going to give peace." How many thank God for the peace of God tonight? There is a peace that will keep our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. And I thank God for His peace. And the glory of God can bring that peace in you and in me. God said there's going to be a shaking, but yet at the time of the shaking, God said, "I'm going to fill my house with my glory." Amen? Now turn to Ezekiel 43. Ezekiel 43, and let's look at this glory coming into the house here. Ezekiel 43. Now, the Bible teaches several things. The Bible teaches us through the Scriptures, there's a river flowing out of the garden. Hear me now. There's a river flowing out of the garden. How many know we're the garden tonight? Do you know your garden? Oh, yes. Then the Bible said the river is flowing out of the house. Jesus said it's coming out of the belly. And in Revelation, Jesus said it's coming out of the throne. How many know the throne is God's dwelling in you? Amen? And where God is, there is a throne. How many believe that? Now, we know there is a throne where God's sitting tonight. But there is a throne of God in you where God camps. Can you say amen? So out of the garden, and out of the house, out of the belly, and out of the throne, God is flowing. Hallelujah. That's in you. Come on, and in me. It's coming from God into you. Come on, and flowing out to others. Can you say amen? Ezekiel 43, it says here, "Afterwards he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looks towards the east." Now the east is where the sun comes up. The east is where the tribe of Judah camped right there, we know, in the tabernacle. And in Revelation chapter 7, there's an angel coming from the east, bringing the seal of the living God, sealing God's people in their foreheads and in their minds. Hallelujah. And that angel, I believe, is a ministry that God is raising up in this end time with a message that will seal a people. I believe there's a message coming forth through messengers that's sealing the people of God. Now, verse 2, "And behold, the glory of God of Israel came from the way of the east." Notice that. The glory came from the east. "And His voice was like a noise," come on, "of many waters." Now, turn to Revelation 14. Let's look at this. It's also mentioned in chapter 1 of Revelation, but in chapter 14... let's just look at it. That's a prophetic word there in Ezekiel 43. But in chapter 14, look in verse 2, speaking of this people of God here, he said, I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice, come on, of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. They were not just harping, they were worshiping. Amen? They were harping with their harps. And they sung a new song. This is a new message, and notice, before the throne. They're the overcomers. They've been caught up to the throne. They're reigning with the Lord. Now, back here in chapter 43, though, it says something. He says that this voice was like the noise of many waters. Well, we know the natural. There's the ocean. There are rivers. There's lakes. There's creeks. There's ponds. There's waterfalls. There's all kind of water we know in the natural. And how many know we're all on different levels in the Lord? And whatever level we on are, we recognize where we are, and God will bring us higher as we desire Him. Can you say amen? And so he said this voice was like the voice of many waters. It's the body, this glory of God and the power of God and the voice of God is flowing through. And he said the earth shined, notice, with His glory. How many know this is earth here too? We know there's the natural earth, but how many know God wants to shine right here? Come on, don't shout me down now. Look in Isaiah 60. Let's look at it. Isaiah 60. And we'll see it here from the Scripture. Isaiah 60, verse 1. And it says, notice, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Let me tell you, the greatest glory is coming in the greatest time of trouble. The darker it gets in the world, the lighter it must get in the people of God. And God said, you must arise. I must arise. Amen. And this glory will be, notice, and the glory shall be risen upon thee. Hallelujah. And behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But at that same time, the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. How many know that His glory was seen on Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration? They saw that glory. There was so much glory within, it came to without. There was an explosion from within to without. Oh, hallelujah. God wants an explosion to happen in our lives. Can you say amen? And it says here, notice, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, the kings to the brightness of thy rising, and so forth. Verse 4, lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar. Thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see. It's time to see together, isn't it? Thou shalt see and flow together, not against one another, not cutting one another and fighting one another. And thine heart shall fear, the fear of God, and shall be enlarged, he says, because the abundance, here it is, of the sea. That's people coming to God. Shall be converted to thee, and the forces of the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to thee. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Then he says in verse 7, notice, and I will glorify the house of my glory. I will glorify the house of my glory. My house is going to be glorified. We said that this morning. Many sons are being brought to glory. Hallelujah. Now back in Ezekiel chapter 43, the Lord says to us here that the earth shined with His glory. Now, in verses 4, notice, it says, and the glory of the Lord came into the house. How many know we're the house tonight? We're not talking about a natural building. We're talking about this house. God no longer dwells, come on, in temples made with hands, but He dwells in our temples tonight. And He said, the glory here of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect is towards the east. Then he said in verse 5, the Spirit took him up, Ezekiel said, and brought me to the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Notice, first of all, he comes in the house, into the house. Now he begins to fill the house with his glory. How many want to be filled with the glory of God? Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Then in verse 6, now notice, after he comes in and begins to fill the house, he said, I heard him speaking unto me out of the house, and the man stood by. Notice, God begins to speak out of the house, out of you and out of me, or into me, however you want to say it. God begins to speak out of the house, I should say. How many know that God's speaking today if we'll listen to Him? But again, I'd like to say that many things happening in the church is not of God. I believe probably 99% of the things happening in the church possibly is not of the Lord. But I believe there's a small percentage that God is in and God is speaking and God is doing. Now, I want to tell you right quick, before we go any further in this chapter, God speaks different ways. How many know God wants to speak in the midst of a famine? Not a famine for bread and water, but a famine, come on, for hearing the word of the Lord. God can speak in the midst of somebody on your left and somebody on your right can be in a spiritual famine, but you can be hearing the voice of God. Amen. It's rebellion that stops God from speaking many times to us. Amen. Now, number two, I'm thinking the scripture now. That was Amos 8. In 1 Samuel 3, the lamp was about to go out, and God called little Samuel. And he said, Samuel, Samuel. The Bible said, ere the lamp of the Lord went out. And so right at the time the lamp going out, God called a prophet, and a little boy began to hear, come on, the voice of the Lord. Can you say amen? And then we need to hear the voice of God in the midst of winter. I'll just show you this one. Turn to the Song of Solomon. Let's turn there. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 3 or 4 there, I'll find it. Got my Bible, I can find it in. You ever get in the wrong Bible? Chapter 3 or 4, let's see here. Praise God. All right, look in verse 2. I'm wrong. Chapter 2. Look at verse 10. My beloved spake and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. And we know God's beckoning all of us to come on up higher with Him. Next verse. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. Now, winter, we know we're restricted in the natural to travel. But how many know people's got winter in their soul tonight? The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of the birds has come, and the voice of the turtle is heard where? Come on, help me now. In our land, the turtle dove is the Holy Ghost. Winter's past, he said. The flowers appeared. Springtime. That old cold, damp weather's gone. Oh, hallelujah. The sunshine. The flowers are coming out. And God's talking. Hallelujah. Can you see, hear that? Praise God. So the Lord starts to speak. Once winter is over, God begins to speak. Sometimes we go through a winter season, don't we, in our life? God always comes through. Amen. The Bible said He has given the ear of the learned to those who have the tongue of the learned. And you can't have the tongue of the learned unless you have the ear of the learned. That's Isaiah 50. And also, by seeing Jesus, the Lord begins to speak. And I'll say more about that. Jesus, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. And then Jesus said, who will go for me? And he said, Lord, here am I. But you know, when he said it, he said it. He said it after he was purged. The coal touched his tongue. After God purged him from iniquity, he could hear the voice of God. Can you say amen? And then the potter's house. Let's look at this. Jeremiah 18. Just a verse here. Thank you, Jesus. Chapter 18 of Jeremiah. And notice it says in verse 2, the word of the Lord coming to Jeremiah, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. You're going to hear my rhema word in the potter's house. What does the potter's house mean? That means you get on the wheel and God makes you into what He wants you to be. Amen? He's going to mold and shape you and I into the vessel that God wants us to be. Amen. Verse 3. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. Hallelujah. And that wheels, I believe, is connected to the midwife's stool, which speaks of deliverance and a lot of things there. And the vessel that he made, the clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel that seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, and he said, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as the potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in mine hand, O house of Israel. Now let me show you something. Even though he heard the voice of God here in the potter's house, I want you to notice he was not received. Look in verse 12. And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices. We will everyone do the imagination of his what? Evil heart. Now look at verse 18. Then they said, come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priests, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, And let us not give heed to any of his words. And the words he was receiving was from God. It was a rhema word. Amen. They said, we'll not listen to him. Then there is the hearing of Solomon. I'm thinking of him. He was praying for a hearing heart or a discerning heart in 1 Kings chapter 3. You remember that? He didn't ask for riches, but he asked for a hearing heart. How many know that's what we need today? Amen. And then lastly, I think it's in Proverbs 20. Let's turn there. I just want to give you this scripture here. Proverbs 20 on hearing the voice of God. Chapter 20, somewhere here. Thank you, Jesus. I believe it's 20. May be wrong. Praise God. Chapter 21, the last part of verse 28. Well, we'll read all of verse 28. A false witness shall perish. But the man that heareth, speaketh constantly. A man that heareth, speaketh constantly. Hallelujah. So, we need to hear the voice of God in the midst of a famine, when the lamp's going out after winter time. We need that tongue of the learned as well as that ear of the learned. As we see the Lord and we're purged, as we go down to the potter's house, as we pray for it, and as we begin to hear the voice of God, we have something to say. Can you say amen? Praise God. Now back to Ezekiel chapter 43. So we see something happening already. God is beginning to enter the house. He's beginning to fill the house. And then in verse 5, the Bible said here, verse 6, that he's beginning to speak out of the house, and the men stood by. So God is speaking out of the house. And verse 7, the Lord's going to tell us what he's going to speak. In verse 7 and verse 8, and verse 9. Now notice what God is going to say right here. He's going to speak out of the house. Let's see what he's going to say. This pertains to me to deliver. In verse 7. He said to me, Son of man, the place of my throne. That's the place of government, the place of authority. And the place of the soles of my feet. Where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. And my holy name shall the house of Israel no more, come on, defile. Neither they nor their kings by their whoredom nor by their carcasses of their kings and their high places. How many know we got some kings we got to get rid of? We got some religious kings that we got to deal with. Come on now. We have idols that we've set up that God is against. We've put ministries on a pedestal too long. Amen. And people up here. It's time that Jesus be first and exalted. Amen. In their setting of their threshold by their thresholds and their posts by their posts, and the wall between me and them, notice, the wall between me and them, they have even defiled my holy name by their abominations that they have committed, wherefore I have consumed them in mine anger. Now verse 9, now let them put away their whoredom, the carcasses of their kings far from me, and I will dwell in the midst of them forever. Praise God. I want to read the scripture Brother Norman read today, Deuteronomy 23. If you turn back there, this is one of my favorite scriptures in the Old Testament, chapter 23. And I want to look at verses, 14? 14, yes. And he says, for the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp. How many know this is the camp today? He's walking in here and talking in here, isn't he? To deliver thee. Now, why does God come walking in my camp? To deliver thee. And notice, to give up thine enemies before thee. Or another translation says, to defeat your enemies before you. God comes in to walk in you and talk in you and I to defeat every enemy. Now, notice what God says. Therefore, shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing where? In thee, in us, and turn away from thee. God turning away. What does that mean? That means simply this. And I don't mean that loosely, but it means, God, you'll lose the anointing, and you'll lose the blessing of God in your life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I believe that. Now, let's go back to Ezekiel. So we see the Lord coming in the house, beginning to fill the house, beginning to speak out of the house for God's people to get rid of their kings, their idols, and be set free from those things, those abominations that are within us. Now, notice back in verse 8, He said, they have even defiled my holy name by their what? Abomination. Now flip over to Ezekiel 9 real quick. And let's look at a scripture here. Ezekiel 9. And this is what Brother Glenn was talking about a while ago about the man. And notice it says in verse 2, there was one man among them. Now, well, let's go back and read verse 1. He cried in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men. Six is the number of men. And I believe judgment's coming even through the hand of man at times. Behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lies towards the north, and every man a slaughter weapon come on in his hand. And one man among them. How many believe God's raising a man up again tonight? A corporate man. One man among them that was clothed with women. That's the overcomer's clothing. With a rider's inkhorn by his side, and they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. Something's going to be judged, isn't it? Right in the house of God. And the glory of God of Israel was gone up from the cherub. Notice that. Then God's calling for this man that's clothed in linen with the rider's inkhorn in verse 3, verse 4. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of the church, or Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry. Why are they crying and sighing? Come on now. For all the abominations. Where's the abominations? Out in the world? In the church. In us. In the people of God. That be done in the midst thereof. And once God had sealed his people, then God said, don't you spare, smite everyone that were not sealed with that seal. I'm telling you, the judgment of God's coming upon the earth. But God has a people that's going to be marked and sealed by God. Can you say amen? And I want to be sealed, don't you, brethren? Hallelujah. It's not just a stamp out here on your head. It's something God's putting in your head. It's something God's putting in your soul. Back in Ezekiel now, 43, he says to us in verse 10, thou son of man, show the house to the house of Israel. I believe Jesus is the house we look to first. I mean, again, he's the pattern. He's the blueprint. Show the house to the house. I don't believe we'll ever see the real house here until we can see him. Amen? And when we get out of sorts here, it's because we're out of sorts there. But once we see the house, we see the Lord, then he'll open our eyes to see the house here on the earth. Amen? Hallelujah. So show the house to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure, notice that, let them measure, come on, the pattern. Let them measure the pattern. Now turn to Ephesians 4. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4. Look at verse 11. These are God's gifts to the church. And it said he gave some apostles. I say to the church, it says back in verse 8, he gave gifts unto men. But yet we know we go out among the world as well. But yet it says here in verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherds and teachers for, come on, the perfecting of the saints for, the little word for there is E-I-S in the Greek, or ice. For, it means unto or until, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till or until we all come. Until we all come. Now, we know we have the unity of the Spirit, but God's leading us to the unity of the faith. And we have two choices, I believe, to keep it or to break this unity of the Spirit first. But he's leading us to the unity, come on, of the faith. Isn't that right? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto what? A perfect, mature, complete man under the measure, come on, of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, let's look at a couple of scriptures right here in Ephesians while we're here. Look back in chapter 1. Again, we said this morning, and brethren, if you haven't read the book of Ephesians, you need to study. How many know it's an end time book? It's a book we need to know. We need to know our position, our walk in God, and we need to know how to stand in warfare. Praise God. Chapter 1, though, look here with me in verses 22. It says, well, let's go back, yeah, verse 22, I guess it is. Hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things of the church, which is his body, notice, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Then in chapter 3, in verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all, come on, the fullness of God. And then he tells again in verse 4, where we were, that this fullness is going to come about, the measure of the stature of this fullness is going to come about through, come on, apostles and prophets and shepherds and teachers and evangelists. God's going to use the fivefold to bring the church to that perfection or that maturity. Can you say amen? And I believe, like Norman today, I believe we need a place where God has placed us under ministries by the Lord. I believe we're deceived when we reject the ministry and we get off by ourselves and we don't associate with the body. I believe it's error. I believe it's wrong. And I believe that we need to reexamine if we're in that position. Amen. And pray that God will lead us and put us with the people he wants us to be with. Can you say amen? Back in Ezekiel 43, praise the Lord. It says in verse 11, if they be ashamed of all that they have done, show them the form of the house. Now, I don't know if I'm right, but I always say the blueprint, the pattern, the government of the house. But show them the form. And I looked up that word form, and it means a rock. How many know Jesus Christ is the rock? It means a rock or a form pressed out of a rock or a boulder. It's a form pressed out of a rock or a boulder. Praise God. And again, I believe we're coming out of him. Amen. And we're coming into him. Amen. But we are being pressed into something, the very image and the very likeness of the Lord himself. Praise the Lord. And so he said, if they'll be ashamed of all their iniquities, then he said, you show them the form of the house. Then he says in verse 12, this is the law of the house. I mean, God's got some laws in the house. His law. Upon the top of the mountain, the whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy. God has a most holy people moving towards a most holy place, serving a most high God. Can you say God? Amen. And a holy God. Behold, this is the law of the house. The law of the house is to be most holy. Praise God. And I believe God wants a clean people in this hour. Can you say amen? Now, I feel the change, the message here just a little. I want us to turn to Zechariah. I'm feeling the Lord's wanting to change here just a little bit. Praise God. Zechariah chapter 10. Zechariah 10. Thank you, Lord. And I want to show you the people that God's raising up for this hour. I believe it's people who have the revelation of Jesus. I believe it's people who love the Lord, who are being set free from all kind of bondages, and who will truly come into that image of the Lord. I believe that. How many believe that? Amen. And the Bible said that in the Proverbs that the Lord has prepared the horse for the day of battle. How many's ever read that? The Lord has prepared the horse for the day of battle. And I believe the day of battle is coming. And I don't believe we've seen the battles like we're going to yet see. I believe it's 21:31 of Proverbs. God has prepared the horse for the time, the day of battle. Now look in chapter 10 of Zechariah. And the Lord said, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. Now, I believe when this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this latter day outpouring is coming, I believe there are several things that we need to see. I believe it will be in the third, we're approaching, we know, the third day from Jesus or the seventh day from Adam. How many believe that? And I believe it's in the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. It's in the time of great restoration. And there's a lot of things we could go into and show you here with that. But we know that God is going to pour out this latter rain upon the people. Now, Joel says in chapter 2, verse 23, that this latter rain will come first to Zion. He tells you that. And I believe there's a pattern for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I believe God has shown me a portion of that throughout the Scriptures. But I believe it's going to come to the sons of God, the overcomers first. And God's going to then take them up and use them. I'll maybe explain that later. Now look in verse 2. For the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie. Brother Norman was talking about witchcraft today, and divination, and those things. And so we sit here, the idols have spoken vanity, and these diviners, and my Martin says fortune tellers, have seen a lie. So right in the midst of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, God is going to move. But on the other hand, how many know the enemy is moving too? So we got to remember that. And have told false dreams, they comfort in vain, therefore they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd. We need some godly shepherds in the land today, I believe, with all my heart. Men raised up under the anointing of God, called by God to be true shepherds. Can you say amen? And I don't mean just in local churches. I believe all the fivefold ministry are shepherds. I believe apostles are shepherds and prophets are shepherds. Come on now. Teachers and evangelists, as well as the local shepherds that God has in the local fellowships as well. I believe that we should all be shepherds if we're in a fivefold ministry. Verse 3, God says, "Mine anger was kindled against the shepherds, and I punished the goats, for the Lord of hosts hath visited his flock, the house of Judah." Now, the word Judah we know means praise, "and hath made them," made this house of Judah, these praisers, God's made them something. He's made them his goodly horse in the battle. I believe, brethren, praise will take you through the battle. How many believe that? Somebody said, "Well, the battle's not ours, but the Lord's," and that's true. But how many know you feel the effects of it anyway? But praising will take you through it. Amen? How many know he's going to win the battle through the church in this hour? And so, he's got a flock, he's got a people, he's got a Judah company, however you want to say it, which is a goodly horse in the battle. Praise God. Now, turn over with me to Isaiah 13 a minute. Isaiah 13. And let's look at this battle for just a minute. And I want to tell you, God is the one that's mustering this battle, this warfare. Isaiah 13. We say the devil does this and the devil does that, but I want to tell you, God does some things too. How many believe that? Chapter 13 of Isaiah, verse 3. And the Lord said, "I have commanded my sanctified one," his holy one. "I have called my mighty one." That's Joel 3:11 as well as there in Zechariah. We're going to see this in just a minute. "I have commanded my sanctified one. I have called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. The noise of a multitude in the mountains like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle." God's calling the battle. And God's calling his sanctified ones, his mighty ones, for God's anger has been kindled. Can you say amen? Look at verse 5. "They come from a far country." I mean, oh, that's not only earth, but that's going to even be heaven. You hear me now? Hallelujah. I mean, oh, God's got an army there, and God's got an army here. You better believe it. He's going to bring us together too, isn't he? "They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. How ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty." Now look at verse 9. He tells a lot about the birth pains and things going to have. Verse 9. "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger to lay the land desolate. He shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it." Well, the stars of heaven and the constellations, this goes along with Matthew 24 and Mark 13, Joel chapter 2. For the stars of heaven, the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened and is going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. Can everybody hear that? Now I want to show you something right here. Turn to Ezekiel. Hold your place in these places here, okay? Get your fingers in. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Turn over to Ezekiel. Lord, you got to help me find that. Thank you, Jesus. Ezekiel. I'll have to find the scripture here, so hang on with me. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Chapter 32. Thank you very much. Look in chapter 32. You'll notice it says here in verse, I think, 3, the Lord says, thus saith the Lord God, I will therefore spread out my net over thee with a company of many people. A company of many people. And they shall bring thee up in, come on, my net. The word net means a network. Now God has a network or a company of people that God is raising up to destroy, come on, to bring down the enemy. How many believe that? Then will I leave thee upon the land, I will cast thee forth upon the open field, and will cause all the fowls of the heaven to remain upon thee. And I will fill the beasts of the earth, the whole earth with thee, and I will lay thy flesh upon the mountains and fill the valleys with thy height. I will also water with thy blood the land wherein thou swimmest, even to the mountains, and the river shall be full of thee. And when I shall put thee out, now notice, when God says the enemy is going to be put out, I will cover the heaven, make the stars thereof dark, and I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light, and all the bright lights of heaven will I make dark over thee, and set darkness upon thy land, saith the Lord God. I will also vex the hearts of many people, when I shall bring thy destruction among the nations into the countries which thou hast not known. So God is going to raise up a people or a network to bring the enemy down. Now turn to Revelation 20. Hallelujah. Aha, Mr. Devil, you didn't defeat us after all. Revelation 20. Thank God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Chapter 20, verse 1. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain, come on, in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. How many know there's a ministry binding the enemy even now? Come on, it's not just, you know, in the future. It's happening right now. There is a network. There is a company. There is a people that's going to bring the enemy down. And I'll tell you, brethren, the man-child's going up, and Satan's coming down. Hallelujah. God's catching the man-child to the throne, and the devil is going to fall. Can you say amen? Thank God. I want to see that. Back in Zechariah. Zechariah, chapter 10. Where were we before we went to Ezekiel? Zechariah? Okay. I want to forget. Praise God. Zechariah, chapter 10. Now, it says here, in verse 3, that it is God's goodly horse in the battle that he's raising up, this Judah company. And out of him, out of the Lord, came forth the corner, out of him the nail, out of him the battle bow, out of him every oppressor together, and they shall be as mighty men. We saw that in Isaiah, and it's mentioned over in Joel. They shall be as mighty men, which shall tread down, come on, their enemies in the mire, or actually the mud of the street, in the battle. Let me tell you, brethren, God's going to win the battle through his mighty ones. And they shall fight because the Lord is with them. A lot of times people get in fights and get in wrestling matches and warfare God hadn't called them to. But it says here that the Lord's with these people. And the riders on horses shall be confounded. I want you to notice that. The riders, that's all the other horse company. That's the enemy. That are going to be confounded or actually put to shame. Verse 6, and I will strengthen the house of praise, the house of Judah. And I will save the house of Joseph. Joseph was given the portion above his brethren. Joseph means to continue a thing. And you see in Joseph's life, one who preserved life, not destroyed life. And so God says, I'm going to save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to place them. For I, he says, shall have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off, for I am the Lord their God, and will hear them. And they of Ephraim, or double fruit, shall be like a mighty man. Their heart shall rejoice as through wine, that's joy. Their children shall see it and be glad, and their heart shall rejoice where? In the Lord. How many know there's going to be some rejoicing when we see the enemy defeated? Come on. When we see the enemy's nose in the mud. Well, ours has been in there. How many know that sometimes our nose has been in the mud? Come on, help me now. I guarantee you, but all it's going to be a switch. It's going to be a reverse. Now, look at verse 8. God said, I'm going to hiss. Now, turn over to, and that means to whistle or to call. Turn to Isaiah 5. We see it right here. Isaiah 5. Isaiah 5. And look at verse 26. Here's the people God's going to hiss or whistle or call for. Isaiah 5:26, and he will lift up an ensign to the nation from far and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth. And behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. I believe there's a people on the move. Hallelujah for God. And they're going to hear the voice of God and know it's God. Verse 27, none shall be weary. And you know God's going to rejuvenate these old bodies too. I mean before the resurrection. Hallelujah. I need mine. Norman, you need your strengthened tonight? Praise God, I do. None shall be weary nor stumble among them. None shall slumber, no foolish virgins in this group, nor sleep. Neither shall the girdle of their loins be loosed. The girdle won't be killing them anymore. Myrtle, the girdle's not hurting. Okay. Notice, the loins is the reproductive area. It's the strength area. And God said, I'm going to gird you up. I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to cause you to reproduce. The girdle of the loins shall be loosed. The girdle of the loins shall be loosed. And nor the latchet, excuse me, I read that wrong. Neither shall the girdle of the loins be loosed. God's going to run a tight ship. Nor the latchet of their shoes be broken, whose arrows are sharp. Here's warfare. All their bows bent, their horses' hoofs, notice the word horses, shall be counted like flint and their wheels like a whirlwind. Their roaring shall be like a lion because the lion of the tribe of Judah is in them. They shall roar like young lions, yea, they shall roar and lay hold of the prey and shall carry it away safe and none shall deliver it. And in that day they shall roar against them like the roaring of the sea. I'll tell you, brethren, God's going to raise up those overcomers. Hallelujah. I know the Lamb's got to be in us. That's towards one another, that meekness and gentleness. But I'll tell you, we got to roar against our enemy. Can you say amen? Amen? There's a boldness that must come into the church in this hour. The righteous are as bold as a lion. It's time for the church to be bold. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Somebody said, I'm bold as a lion and scared as a rabbit. But we need... We need to be bold in the Lord. Amen. Back to Zechariah. Verse 8. Back in Zechariah 10, verse 8. I will hiss or call or whistle for them and gather them. Now notice what God's going to do. He's going to first, he's going to call, then he's going to gather them, which means they've been scattered and God's going to gather them. For I have redeemed them and they shall increase as they have increased. I think it's a steady growth here in the Lord. They're going to increase as they have increased. We've got to take on more of Jesus. Can you say amen? Now, notice something. I have redeemed them. Turn to Revelation 14. Revelation 14. I think I'll give you two scriptures here, I think. In verse 14, look at verse 3, the last part of this 144,000. They were redeemed from the earth. Hallelujah. Verse 4. It said, these were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits, which means they mature first, ripen first, come to fruition first, unto God and to the Lamb. And those are the overcomers, the sons of God. Now listen, Zechariah 10 and Revelation 14 go hand in hand. I believe they're the same people, God's army, that's on the move. And on the march. Hallelujah. Now turn to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. Look at verse 1 and 2. Psalms 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who shall walk in the law of the Lord. And it says that the 144,000 were not defiled with women or the harlot church. And they're walking in the way, notice, how many know Jesus is the way? And they walk in the law of the Word of God. Verse 2, blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that they seek Him with what? The whole heart. You're talking about godliness. Here it is right here in verse 1 through 3. They also do no iniquity. They walk, come on, in His ways. You know what it means to walk in the ways of God? It means you know the judgments of God. What's the judgment of God? It means you that God puts things right that was wrong. That's one meaning of it. They learn to walk in the ways of God, which Deuteronomy talks about is the judgment of God. Notice that last phrase. They also do no iniquity because they walk in His ways. Turn to Zephaniah now. Zephaniah. All these easy scriptures. Zephaniah. And look in chapter 3. Look at verse 11. Chapter 3, verse 11. In that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings, wherein thou hast transgressed against me, God says, for then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy, come on, mountain. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and a poor people, or a humble people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. Now look at verse 13. Who are they? The remnant. God has a remnant. We get on that, we'd never get out of here, would we? The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity. And as Brother Norman brought up today, iniquity is going to be multiplied in the end of the age, which is as the sin, come on, of witchcraft, rebellion. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity and nor speak lies. Neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, which means there's no guile in their heart, no guile in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Those are God's people. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, go back to Zechariah. I'll take you back here, then over to Mike, and we'll close. I've got so much I could just... got in half of what I had down here I was going to get into, but we're going the way of the Lord. Zechariah 10. How many ever had to throw away some of your notes? You had so many. Amen. Or rechange them or something. Zechariah 10, the Lord said, I'm going to hiss for them in verse 8. Gather them, I've redeemed them, I'm going to increase them as they've increased. Verse 9, and I will sow or plant them among the people. And they shall remember me, now look at this, in far countries, and they shall live with their children and turn again. Now I know you can look at that different ways. But I truly believe that when God raises up His army around the world, I tell you what I believe. I believe God will literally pick this army up and transport them around the world. Hallelujah. I know men have had visions of it and seen it in visions. God will literally pick them up and place them where He wants to place them. Hallelujah. And this fire of God in these sons, or this army, whatever title you want to put on, will be poured out worldwide. Hallelujah. But I believe that God must come in the sons first in order to see that happen. And we know the servant saw the little cloud rising out of the sea of humanity. And out of that little cloud, there come a big storm. Remember that? And remember what Elijah said? He said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Hallelujah. I believe there's abundance of rain coming. But you've got to have that little cloud first. The size, come on, of a man's hand. And that's the ministry God's raising up in this hour. And I believe God's raising up many apostles. Hear me now. And prophets and teachers and shepherds and evangelists. Amen. With a message of truth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's going to bring forth that maturity in the people of God. And so God is going to plant or sow this people in the earth. Now turn to Micah, and I'll close with Micah. Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4. And I want to look in, and we're dealing in Micah 4, and look at the very first verse. He said, in the last days. And I know there's a big teaching we could go on about the last days here, really from Pentecost on down. But how many know we're living in the last of the last days? But in chapter 4, in verse 6, the Lord says something. And I remember we went to Little Rock one night with Brother and Sister Miller, and Brother Norman was with us that night, and some others. We preached in a little black church there in Little Rock. I remember this. And I remember I touched on this scripture there on the remnant. Now, and it said in verse 6, in that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her. Now, if God's going to assemble something, that means something has been disassembled. And so, or we would say scattered, and God's going to gather. God's going to assemble, bring together her that halteth. And the word halteth, of course, means one that's lame. And so the one, and if you're lame, how many know you come to a stop? You better come to a stop because a train may be coming down the track, especially if it's a red light. You might get run over. But if you're lame, you have to stop in the natural. Isn't that right? How many know God is causing some of us to become lame? I'm talking about on a spiritual term now. Which means we don't run out there and do our thing. Come on now. We only move as God begins to move us. Can you say amen? And we need to know that tonight. Now listen to what he says. I will assemble her that halteth, the one that comes to stop. And I will gather her that's driven out of our plans into God's plans. How many know God's got driver's license? Oh, yes, he does. He's not a co-pilot. How many know he's the pilot? And her that I have afflicted, and I will make her that halted, the one that's lame that comes to stop, I will make them a remnant. I will make them a remnant. Let me tell you, a remnant is not a popular item. How many know that it's that part that's left over that's really, we'd say, no good, so to speak? But how many know a remnant can also repair the torn place, or the tear, or whatever, the torn place in the whatever? How many know there's people been torn and ripped asunder? But God's raising up a people to repair the breach, to restore and heal. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Not everybody's knocking the doors down to get to that remnant piece. And let me tell you, a remnant is odd-shaped. God's got some odd-shaped people, doesn't he? Every one of us. Ask my wife. Okay, verse. Look at verse 7. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off, come on, a strong nation. It goes with Joel 2, the army of the Lord, the horsemen there. And the Lord shall reign over them, come on, in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. God's going to reign over this people. Luke 19, there's a people said he'll not reign over us. But God said there's a remnant that's a strong nation. Hallelujah. He's caused to be lame. That he's bringing together. That is going to rule and reign over. Verse 8, and thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. That word dominion means government. God has a people that's going to submit to his government. Amen. We've had man's too long. God's government's coming to the earth. Can you say amen? God's government, God's authority is coming into a people. And the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Zion. Well, I said I was going to close. I can't. Go to Obadiah. One more. I'm not apologizing. Obadiah, chapter 1, I thought it was through. Look at verse 17. I'll try to close right here now. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. There shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. It's not enough to enter Canaan or into possession, our possessions, or just to conquer. We must possess the land. Then verse 18, and the house, but notice, let's don't go over that too fast. Upon Mount Zion. Revelation 14 says, upon Mount Zion there's a people with the Lamb. And yet upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. It's time for the sons of God to recognize and know deliverance is real. Amen. And with deliverance comes holiness. There can be no holiness without deliverance. Can you say amen? And then we can possess our possessions. How many of us time to spoil the strong man's house? Verse 18. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, the house of Joseph a flame, the house of Esau, that's the flesh, for stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. How many know God's going to deal with the flesh in the church? In us. Come on now. We're the church, aren't we? Verse 21, part of it. And saviors or deliverers shall come upon Mount Zion. Why? To judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord. God's putting His glory in the house. And that glory is flowing out from the garden, out of that house, oh hallelujah, out of the belly, and out of the throne. Praise God. There's going to be a pure people raised up to serve a pure and a living God. Amen? Amen. Amen. God love you and God bless you. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's really early tonight. Praise God. It's really early. Let's just praise Him a minute. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Glory to your name, Lord. Glory to your name, Lord. Sila brandele brisikara brasola brikitaya. Sila brandele brakai. Lord, fill your house. Pour out this latter rain upon your people, Lord God. Set the captives free, Lord. Come into the house, Lord. Fill the house. Speak through the house. Show the house to the house, Lord. Teach us the law of the house. Show us the form of the house. And bring your people into the Holy of Holies, Lord. Hallelujah. Minister life to us, Lord, we pray. Quicken us together, Lord. Cause us to inherit the land. Lord, I pray right now for Brother Jack tonight as we lift him up, Lord. And the situation there tomorrow. We just ask that you would touch Brother Jack anew and afresh. We ask, Lord, that you would anoint him in this hour to speak the truth as you have given it to him in the past. We ask you continue to minister life to my brother, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you would touch his family. We ask you to touch the fellowship there, Lord, where he ministers, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that he's a light in that community. Hallelujah. And we just lift him up now, Lord, and ask a double portion of your spirit to just minister to Brother Jack tonight. Just strengthen him and lift him up in the Holy Ghost tonight, Lord. And God, let him be a blessing tomorrow as he approaches that funeral, we pray. And touch the family as well, Lord, in the death of his loved one, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, touch all of our families tonight. Touch the lost loved ones, Lord God, in each one of our families tonight, I pray. Father's brother Norman and his wife goes back to Guatemala. I pray, Lord, that you'll just be with them and be with the fellowship there in Guatemala. Be with the brethren there, Lord. We lift them up and pray for them, Lord. Lord, forgive us for not praying for them as we should have. But Lord God, tonight, put a desire and a burden in our hearts here, everyone here, to pray for that fellowship and the people of Guatemala. Lord God, we pray. Lord, for Brother Ludicky, we pray for him, Lord, as he ministers in this convention. We ask you to touch his family tonight, that you would strengthen him, Lord, that you would minister life to him, Lord, that you would bring such an increase into him, Lord, in this hour. That you would make him a blessing, God, not only where he lives, but as he goes across the nation and the world. Yes. We thank you for him, and we bless him, Lord, for Brother Glenn and Irma, Lord, and the others that work here. We lift them up, Lord. God, help us not forget to pray for Lake Hamilton, Lord, and all the blessing, God, that they've been over the many years in this nation and as well as around the world. We lift them up and ask your blessing to be upon them, Lord. We lift up Steve Bell tonight, Lord, and their meeting in Texas, Lord. Lord God, we ask you to bless there and move mightily in those meetings in Texas, Lord, and across this land. Lord, lead the servants of God across the land with the word of the Lord, we pray tonight. Encourage the people. Build them up in this week, Lord, here at this campground. And Lord, send them back to their churches, their homes, and their place of employment. Make them a blessing to many. And everybody said, amen and amen. Praise God.
Amen. Stay standing. Let's sing. God's got an army marching through the land. Deliverance is her song. Healing's in her hand. Everlasting joy. Gladness in their heart. And in this army I've got a part. scissors saw, healings in her hand, everlasting joy, gladness in their heart, and in this army I've got a part. A cloud of glory is moving, move with the cloud, move with the cloud.
When the Spirit of God moves, we need to move with it. That's why we get in trouble sometimes, because the Spirit of God moves, and we've gotten comfortable back here somewhere. And God has never left us. We can stop and be blessed for a while, but the call has always been to move on.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I want us to sing it again. The cloud of glory is moving.
Let us move all together as we fly.
Worship the Lord tonight, folks. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh, I bless your name. I bless your name. Kiriara bokoranda ravariara maya seramaranda. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer.
Glory.
sons, there is coming expression of the indwelling Prince of Peace. We're beholding the King in His glory, in the light that the Spirit brings. All heaven and earth shall worship Him, for He is the King of Kings.
We're going to put that up a little bit and try it again. Amen. His glory is filling His temple. There's light in the face of Christ. In sun there is coming expression of the indwelling Prince of Peace. We're beholding the King glory, in the light that the Spirit brings. All heaven and earth shall worship Him, for He is the King of Kings. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, He is the King. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Jesus, 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 oh. He is the King of glory, He is the King of Kings, amen. He is the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus, 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 oh. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless the Lord. We bless the Lord. Glory, glory, glory to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory to your name, O Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.